Welcome to the School of the Word. This is Lesson 4 in our teaching on the life of Daniel titled, The Golden Image and the Fiery Furnace. Our teacher today is Alan Smith.
How is everyone? Good. If you'll notice, you're at New Life. The seats are different. They've already changed. Yes, if you don't like them, it's okay. Wait 30 days. It'll be different. See, and if you're ready for change, you'll notice we have more room for worship, more room for to dance, for worship to your God. We're going to find out a little bit in Daniel today what that means. So let's get started. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for today. We thank you for the power of your presence, for the power of your spirit. We thank you, O God, for the declaration that your God we're not. We thank you, O God, for the declaration that you're in charge and we're not. We thank you, O God, for the declaration that your spirit is among your people. And even though we're not, we are because of you. Teach us from the Daniel where we are and what we need to do, O God, is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Lesson 4, Chapter 3, Book of Daniel. Turn in your Bibles, if you would. Daniel chapter 3. We're going to be starting there today. I've got 45 minutes and 2 hours worth of material to cover. So I hope you're with me today. And this is not a class this morning that you need to try to tune in 15 minutes. You need to tune in 15 seconds because you will be lost. We're going. Daniel chapter 3. If you'll look here, in Daniel chapter 3, this chapter is about a golden image and a fiery furnace. Now, the book of Daniel is a book that tells us revelatory information about today and the time in which we're living. If you'll allow your spirit to connect with the Holy Spirit and God's Word, you will find out that your life parallels with the book of Daniel. All of a sudden, you'll think that God knows what's going on. Fiery furnace and an image. Now, in the building of an image, we can see here in chapter 1, in Daniel chapter 3, verse 1, through verse 7, let's read. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent together his princesses, the governors and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image, which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princesses, the governors and the captains, judges, treasurers, counselors, sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages," here was the commandment, "that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet," you see that? As you hear the what? You hear a sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the what? The golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whatso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and the kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. So we see here that Nebuchadnezzar built an image. He built an image of himself to be worshipped. So we can see that part of the spirit of Babylon is building images. We are in a culture of Babylon today, and we're trying to identify what is it that's affecting us. What's trying to come into our sphere of life and affect us? We think it's us, not realizing that we are being affected by the environment in which we find ourselves. Where and how did such a concept come into Nebuchadnezzar's mind? Why did he have this concept? If Babylon is about anything, It is about image. The inspiration for building an image does not come from the Holy Spirit. Our whole culture is based on building what? Your image. As a company, you can even hire other companies to improve your image. It's all about building image. We say, well, that's good business. Think about it. Your image equals money in this culture. Now you can say, well, Alan, I thought we were supposed to be about image. I hadn't got to that yet. Our culture says you must be much taller, much greater, much grander. It's all about your image. I got to be famous. You know, a lot of times we want to be famous because we know somebody famous. Why? Because that improves our image. Could it be the spirit of Babylon? A recent Babylon statue. Now, just think about this one. There was a statue 6 miles south of ancient Babylon, downtown Baghdad. This statue was a man who set himself up as a supreme leader, told his people he was reincarnated Nebuchadnezzar, that he was rebuilding ancient Babylon. Can anybody tell me who that is? Saddam Hussein. Isn't that amazing? He even created coins with his face on one side of the coin and Nebuchadnezzar on the other side. He said he was incarnated Nebuchadnezzar. Here we find ourselves studying in Daniel, King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and that we have lived in a time that we have experienced another saying that he was rising up as a reincarnated Nebuchadnezzar. Could he be influenced by the spirit of Babylon? A little bit. Turn that down just a minute, Tony. I need to cough. Okay. Was he influenced by this spirit? If he was influenced, do you think you could be? Oh, yeah. Now, he was dead. He was at ground zero of the spirit of Babylon. Look what he did. He was even building, actually rebuilding the walls of Babylon. Keep that in mind. How do we know if we have this in us? If we are any different from what we seem we are, if we are any different from what we seem, we are an image builder. Was Saddam Hussein the image that he created? This big, wonderful man? No. One thing about building your image is usually different than what you really are. So we try to create an image to try to fool ourselves that we're better than we really are and not dealing with what we really are. So it's all about image. You won't believe what I did. Does anybody want to know what I did? You won't believe how many I healed the sick of, or how many I raised from the dead, or you won't believe me and how many presidents I knew. You don't know how many famous people I know. What's it about? Build an image. That's not the worst part. The worst part is you are ignoring the reality of looking at yourself and being authentic. What's the goal here? If you just thought of someone else and not yourself, you're an image builder. When I said all of that, he's like, well, yeah, I know who that is. Well, if somebody else came to your mind before you came to your mind, you might be an image builder. Why did I put that one in there? Because that's exactly what happened to me when I was doing this. I was going, wow, yeah, I know so-and-so. And I'm like, oh, no. Yeah, what about me? So it zinged me before it zinged you. That means we are trying to present ourselves in a different way from what we really are within. That is a building a image. So we find ourselves wanting to present ourselves better than we really are. So we can ignore the issue. Was Nebuchadnezzar ignoring the issue that was in his heart? Yes. So he had to go out there and build him something big. Now let's watch it. Authentic means we are the same on the outside as we are on the inside. That's what authentic means. You're the same on the outside as you are on the inside. Now let's read Daniel chapter 2. Aren't you glad I'm off of that one? Look at it in verse 36. We're just going to move back here a minute to verse 36. Let's read here. Chapter 2, verse 36. This is the dream that we tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven has given thee a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of heaven hath he given into thy hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this what? Thou art this head of gold. What did he build the entire statue of according to Daniel 3:1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of. The dream was he was the head of gold. He was going to supersede the prophetic dream of God and say that he was going to be the whole statue of gold. He wasn't satisfied with just being the head of gold. He wanted to be the whole statue of gold. So what overtook him? Pride overtook Nebuchadnezzar. He wanted to be the big statue of gold, not just a head of gold. 16 years passed and no other kingdoms had come about as of yet. 16 years passed, so he thought, well, nobody's showing up, so I think I just need to be the whole thing. Has anybody been waiting on God? Has he given you a prophecy? You just going to take it over and be the whole thing? Me either. He decided that his image would rule his what? Kingdom. Here was the issue with Nebuchadnezzar. He created his image. What is Babylon? What's the spirit of Babylon? Spirit of Babylon is I'm trying to create this image of who I want to project that I am. And the reason I want to project this image of who I am is because then it is going to rule my life. You project yourself as somebody that's famous. Or you know somebody's famous. Because that's the person. We worship people. We worship people on TV. We worship people that play music. Oh, if I could only be like him. We worship them. Then we project it that I want to be just like, that's who I am. Spirit of Babylon. Look at it. This is the mind of Babylon. What is our image to be like, according to Romans 8:28? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are called according to His purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to what? To the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Are you to have an image? Yes, you're to have an image. Image of who? Of Jesus Christ. Now, you got to understand something. The reason the spirit of Babylon wants you to create your image is so it can use your anointing. I've told you this before. It wants to use your anointing for Babylon. Your image? Yeah, you have a consultant for your image here. Not only do big companies have it, you have one. It's John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you what? Things to come. Your image consultant is the Holy Spirit. What do you think? Now watch this one. This is what conviction is all about. Ooh. Oh, that one stung, didn't it? That's what conviction is about. The Holy Spirit, your image consultant, is convicting you that you're showing the wrong image. Now let's move on. Let's read Daniel chapter 3. Let's look at it in verse 8. I got a lot to say yet. I'm going to hurry. Is that all right? Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near. This is verse 8 of chapter 3. And accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth down, not down and worship, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the providence of Babylon. They are Shadrach, Meshach, and who? Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Three men, three Hebrews, they would not bow down to this image. The question is, will you bow down to the image you're creating? You say, well, Alan, that's not the same thing. It's exactly the same thing. We're living in the time of Babylon. Listen, never before could you create your own image like you can today. Now look at it. Here's what I ask you. There's three men there. Who are they? Shadrach, Meshach, and what? Oh, I thought this was about Daniel. Well, praise God. There they were. But Daniel wasn't in this group. Right? Now, here's my question to you. Will you step up when your leader is not there? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There they were. They didn't bow down. But their great leader wasn't there. Now, watch this thing. Watch it. It was their time to have a supernatural experience with God. God will remove who you think is the superstar leader in your life, call you to see if you're going to bow down or not. You don't have anybody there to encourage you to stand. He's been removed or she's been removed. Now it's your turn. When that happens, you realize that you have now supernaturally been lined up to have a supernatural encounter with your God. There's nobody in between you and Him. It's just you and the furnace. You must step up to go up. What day are we living in? Spirit of Babylon. Are you going to step up? That's the question. The spirit of Babylon is constantly trying to get us to compromising from not bowing down. Now it's getting so mingled we can't tell what's God and what's not God. It's confusing. Well, I don't think. Well, don't think of me too. It's just so confusing. What's God and what's not God? We have so mingled Babylon with who we are, we can't even tell the difference. But these three Hebrews knew the difference. But their leader wasn't with them. Now let's read Daniel chapter 3. Look at it in verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if you be ready, say that with me. Now, if you are ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sambuk, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour. You know what was so funny to me in that verse? It's like old King Nebuchadnezzar, he was going to give him another chance. He said, all right, we're going to do it again here now. We'll run the music back through here again one more time, see if you're going to bow down. Is it going to happen one time in your life? No. It's going to happen over and over and over and over and over. says, well, but if you worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you in this manner. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning, fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto you, O king, that we will not serve other gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast what? Set up. This was the opportunity for these three Hebrews to have a promotion. When you will not bow down to your image that you are creating, then it's your opportunity for your supernatural promotion. Are you ready for it? Anybody want it? It was their time to have a supernatural experience with God. There it is. Somebody say glory. Boy, that was a little weak. Supernatural experience with God. What's it called? Did they have a fiery trial set before them or what? You're in the Spirit in the time of Babylon. You are being tested with building an image. Your image. Bow down to other images. Are you going to bow down to the image of the President of this United States? Are you going to bow down to the image of our government? Alan, you causing dissension. No, I'm teaching you the life of Daniel. What kind of trials do we have? Are you going through a fiery trial because somebody doesn't like the image you've created? That's most of our fiery trials. It's because people aren't buying our image. They're saying, I know the real you, not your image. So we have a lot of trials and we say, this is my fiery trial. Bless God. They just don't really know how famous I really am. But if God gives them revelation, they'll soon find out. So therefore, I'm going through this fiery trial. Now let's read something here in Daniel. Chapter 3, verse 19. We'll read verse 23. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. He was mad. And the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He changed his mind about them. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one seven times more than it was to be heated. He said he turned the heat up on them. Anybody felt the heat turned up on you lately? Has it been, perhaps, that you've not been bowing down to the spirit of Babylon? If you haven't, heat's going up. Follow Jesus and have it easy. Follow Jesus and have the heat turned up seven times. That's what that means. Does anybody have a witness of that one? Come on, I'm telling you the truth. I'm not telling you some sweetie thing in the sky. I'm telling you the truth. He's going to turn it up seven times hotter. And then we'll whine to God, oh God, I can't take no more, God. I followed you, oh God. And God says, well, didn't you read the book? I told you I'd turn it up seven times. Do you understand the fire now? Don't come to me and say, Alan, it's more than I can stand. The only thing I can tell you is you've been following God and God's turned the heat up. Now get on with it. That's this book. That's all I can tell you. Where'd I get to? I was reading there somewhere. Okay, verse 20. And he commanded the most mighty men that they were in his army to bind. Say bind. Say bind. He told them to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning, firing furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their housens, whatever that is, and their hats and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning, fiery furnace. They were thrown into this fire. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceedingly hot. The flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, get the picture of this thing. Nebuchadnezzar didn't say, now, if y'all don't bow down, we're going to get us some firewood, we're going to throw a little lighter fluid on it, and we're going to start a little fire, and we're going to make you jump on it. They were standing there looking at that furnace. That furnace was so hot, they could see it. It was a big oven, and they would throw them down in it. That big oven was so hot that the men that took them up there burned up before they even threw them in. Is that not amazing? Are you looking at a furnace? Are you looking at a fiery trial? Are you looking at one? Do you feel like it's going to consume you? Do you want me to go on? They were staring in the face of their fiery trial. Remember, we're in the spirit of Babylon here. I'm just telling you from the Word of God what you're experiencing. I'm not a great prophet. I'm just reading Bible. The reason you can identify with it is because it's happening to you right now and you thought you had special problems. No, it's the day in which you're living. Now, I'm going to give you an example of a fire trial. Let's say if you're sick. I had cancer, 37 years old. Said I had 3, 6, 7, 8 months to live. Pretty good little furnace, wouldn't you think? Some of you here probably had the same diagnosis. You know, it's amazing to me, excuse me, Dr. Craig. When you get that diagnosis, they always say, well, this is a rare thing. You're just one of the only few I've ever seen have this. Anybody ever felt that special about a sickness? You're just special. You got this little sickness and nobody else has ever got it. Or, listen, here's my point. Every what trial you're in, you'll feel like you've been picked out and you've got a special case. It's not special, but she's hot just the same. Well, I will take a little scenario here. I'm going to just run one here. Let's say sickness. It could also be relationships. You could have a fire trial of a relationship. Let me get on. Scenario A. We can be delivered from the fire. Let's say I was diagnosed with cancer, had tumors, whatever. You can pray for me. I'm 61 years old, going on 106. And I can tell you I'm here because I got delivered from the fire. Are we going to pray for the sick? Mm-hmm. We going to pray that everybody's healed? Mm-hmm. I hope you listen to me real good today. I am a product of Plan A. And I praise God for it. What's the benefit? Somebody getting healed. Why do we want to see somebody get healed in our midst? Builds our faith. Right? We want to see people get healed. Builds faith. We have testimonies of people getting healed. It builds faith. Whew, I'm getting hot in here. Somebody turn the fire up or something? Or is it just me? Is there some air we can put on this subject? I don't know. I think I'm talking about it. I'm like, oh, I'm feeling the heat off this furnace or something. Forgive me if I'm going prophetic on you. Okay. What's the benefit? Builds your faith. Now, here's the same trial. Say I've been diagnosed with some disease, some sickness. I got a relationship going south. Scenario B. We can be delivered through the fire. Now, what does that mean? If you're healed, you can be delivered from the fire. All of a sudden, you're in the fire, taken out of it. There's another situation here that we can be delivered through the fire. None of us are the author of our deliverance, but this I can promise you, we all get delivered. 100%. If you use Bible, can we use Bible? Now we can't use just one scenario, we got to use all of the Bible. Is that alright? You can go through the fire. It's in John 11, verse 4. It's talking about illness here. I've got it up there. When Jesus heard that, he said, talking about Lazarus, this sickness is what? Not unto death, but for what? But for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified what? Have you ever prayed for somebody and they say, well, it's all right if I get, it's all right, I don't care. As long as it brings God glory. Have you ever heard anybody do that one? I have. If I get healed, I get healed. If I don't, I'm going to praise God in the midst of my illness or my sickness or my relationship. I'm going to praise God just the same. I'm not going to bow down to anything. All right, here's your example. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be what? The question is, will you glorify God through the fire? I went in and prayed for people and come out just like I'm the one that needs to be healed. You can pray, see, yeah, that's okay. Yeah, you can pray for them, but I'm doing just fine. But being on their deathbed, yeah, it's okay. Yeah, go ahead, pray for them. Yeah. You want to be healed? Well, it's okay if I am. It's okay if I'm not. And then we'll convict, bless God, they just didn't have enough faith to get healed. Not understanding that God's taking them through the fire, not from the fire. We need to respect God's Word. We need to respect God's way of deliverance. Amen? You're a little weak there on me. Now, there's a benefit to God taking you through this fire. It's in 1 Peter 1, verses 6 through 7. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, it says. It says, where yours for a season, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than what? Gold that perisheth, though it be tried with what? Come on. Tried with what? Fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Some of these fiery trials is to try your faith. You don't really know what you got till you get in the fire. You don't really know what we've got till we get in the fire. It's amazing to me, every fire I've been in, I thought I had more than I did. Time I get burned up real good, I'm not even sure if I've got any. Anybody else got a witness? Listen, the fire will tell you that. Yours is a trial of faith, being much more precious than gold. You're being burned out. The fiery trial will burn the fake out of us. The fiery trial will burn the fake out of us. The fake's that image. You get in a real good fire, that image will come down. What's left is what's real. What's left is what's really authentic. Don't get mad at God just because He's showing you your image. Don't be mad at God because He set a fire and threw you in it to try your faith so you could really see what you had. Rejoice. Okay, I'll try it again. Rejoice. Oh, thank you. The only reason I can is because I've done been through this 100 times. It just wore me out. Wore me out. Scenario B. We can be delivered through the fire. The benefit is what? Faith refined. Isn't that amazing? Faith. It's not built up. What faith we got is being refined through this fire that we're going through. I know why you're all so quiet, because I am too. Because the fire's hot and it burned hot. The truth I'm bringing you will not make you shout. But it'll give you understanding. Let you know where we are and where we're going. Let you know what God's doing. Test what I say. It's in 1 Peter 1 through 6 through 7. Again, it says, the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory. Now listen to me. The fire, if he's bringing you through this thing, if you'll let it burn you up and let it refine you, you're going to have an experience with God of praise and glory to God when he appears. Now that one's in the bank for you. Now, I don't understand it. I just know it's Bible. If you'll hang on, let the fire burn you up. If you'll not bow down. If you'll stand, let God bring you through that fire. You have a special reward. Something's going to flat hit you like lightning from heaven at Jesus' appearing. And you're going to shout and praise and run and probably fly. Because you let God bring you through that fire. It's this Bible, that's all. They were staring in the face of this trial. Now listen, here's another scenario. Same trial. Scenario C. We can be delivered by the fire into His presence. God can, He can just take us completely out of the fire. He can take us through this fire trial that you've got. We can pray for the sick. They don't get healed. But if you'll notice, just take notice of this. If God doesn't heal them, just take notice. They're rejoicing God in the midst of their suffering. And they've got something we don't have. Now, we need to keep praying for them, but we need to know what we're looking at. If they don't get healed, you watch them. They'll be bringing honor and glory to God. They'll be just fine. Because God's bringing them through it. Now you can be delivered by it. What do I mean by that? We can be delivered by the fire into His presence. Let me put it to you like this. Let me read Scripture first. Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, which is the author, the finisher of our faith, who for by the joy that was set before Him, He did what? He endured His fire. He endured His cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What happened to Jesus through His fire? It took Him right into the presence of God. So we're going to pray for the sick. They're either going to get healed, or I've been promised by Scripture that the Holy Spirit of God is going to be on that person. They are still going to bring glory and honor to God, and I need to respect that. I'm going to pray for them just the same, but I need to respect that. And if they die and go on to be a Jesus, He's absolutely just delivered them just straight into His presence. Guaranteed deliverance out of your fire. Now listen, you need to understand something. We're all leaving here. We all have got an exit date. The longer you're on this earth, the more hotter it gets, the greater the fire is. One reason it's so easy to leave when you get old is because the fire's so hot when you're here. We're all leaving here. From our fiery trials. What's the benefit? Is our faith is made perfect. What are we experiencing when we have praise and worship and in the presence of God now? It's a token of what it's going to be when He makes our faith perfect. You're in a fiery trial. You come in here, just worship God. You'll get to feel His presence. You'll start experiencing just a moment of what's going to be for eternity. Somebody say glory. Have you got a witness? Do you understand why we do what we do? Hebrews 11:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. I prayed for people and they died, and they had the joy of God all over them. What's happening to them? God's delivered the fire. They're in the fire, but they're going out of there into His presence. Listen, it's a guarantee. You don't have to wonder if God delivers. I just showed you three ways it's done. Looking into Jesus, the author, finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, the fire, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. There's not but one way to get into the true, authentic presence of God. You've got to go through the fire to get there. He's on the other side of it. You've got to go through the fire. Why is hell fire? Because they don't have a Savior. They're in the fire just the same. What's the reward? Our faith is made perfect. Blessed is the man that endures temptation or the fire. The words, we're thinking that's sin, not no. For when he is tried, he shall receive the what? Crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that does what? Now listen, I can't do a study today on the crown of life, but she's big. She's big. The crown's what makes it through the fire with you. Come on. Let's read Daniel 3:17. I got 3 minutes. I might take a little longer, Pastor, if that's all right. I need to finish this thing. Daniel 3:17. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. You see that? And He will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. What gods will we bow down to? These three men, we would not bow. Since they wouldn't bow, God, they declared that their God would deliver them. What area in your life do you have unbelief in? You see, they believed in God to deliver them. Unbelief is the beginning of false gods. Unbelief is where you start building your image. You're not trusting God for your image, so you've got to build it yourself. Unbelief in your life is the area that false gods will enter in. You will start to believe that God is not going to come through for you. Let me say it again. You will start believing. How do you know you're in Babylon? You're in a trial. You're trying to build an image of yourself. It's not authentic with who you really are. You're in this fire. It's burning you down to the pure gold. What's the next thing that comes in? It's the enemy wants you to have unbelief that God will deliver you out of this fiery dilemma. The thought that we entertain is that God is not going to come through for me. It can be your job. It can be your relationship. It can be your health. It can be anything. Only thing I can promise you is that God will deliver you. Your point of unbelief means that you are not like one of the three Hebrew children. You're not standing. You're entertaining the thought God won't come through for you. How many wants that special zap at His second appearing? If you want that zap when unbelief comes through, you've got to confess it as sin. The Holy Spirit's looking after your image. The Holy Spirit's telling you that is sin. That's not true. That did not come from God. God's got your best interest at heart, whether you believe it or not. Amen. What happens when we have a resolve to not bow down? Our circumstances become a servant to the gospel. I've prayed for the sick. Always come out ministered to. Pray for somebody to God to raise them up and they're dying. And I come out feeling like a thief and a robber. They are using their fiery trial. They're not complaining about it. Well, God's not showing up in my life. God needs to show up. I don't think God's going to show up in my life. No. God is showing up in my life. though I'm in a bad situation, God's going to get the glory of my fiery trial. It's an attitude. It's an attitude of heaven. It's an attitude of faith. Let God try your faith. How do you know how much faith you have? Check your attitude. Your circumstance will become a servant. You might be sad, but you use it as a situation for the gospel. When we do not bow down, it says yes and amen to experience our awesome God. Look at it, Daniel 3, verse 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace seven times hotter. He commanded, verse 20, that the most mighty men that were in his army to bind them. Bind them. Verse 21. Then these men were bound in their coats. Verse 22. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the first furnace was hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning furnace. The very fact that they made it into the furnace is a miracle. Miracle number one. Men were taking them to the furnace. The three men, the men that was taking them, they fell down dead and they were still there. First miracle. There was miracles going on before they even got thrown in there. Point being, there's many miracles always going around, big miracles. You always see a mini miracle. Miracle here, miracle there. Somebody got a little healed here, somebody got one there. So you always have the mini, the little ones before the big one. We've seen some minis. Watch it. There are many miracles that precede a big miracle. Now, Daniel 3:24, right quickly. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astounded and rose up in haste and spoke and said unto his counselors, did ye not see we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. You see that? You're not in the fire by yourself. Three men were bound in the midst of the fire. Now listen, there didn't but one thing change on them when they were in the fire. Same clothes, same shepherd, but one thing was missing. What was it? Their ropes that they were bound. The only thing that burned on them is they were set free in the fire. Listen, don't throw water on the fire that God's trying to set you free in. The only thing that didn't survive the fire was the deliverance of the bondage. It says four men were loosed. That means you can walk free in the fire. You don't have to come out of the fire to walk free. Matter of fact, if you want to walk free, you got to learn to walk free in the fire before you can get out of it. How can you walk out of a fire that you can't walk in? Come on, somebody. You got to be loosed in the fire, then you walk out of it. Loosing is not being delivered out of it. The loosing takes place in it. Then you walk out of it. Have you prayed for people and them be delivered, but they wouldn't walk out of it? Come on. You know what I'm talking about. I used to worry about when I prayed for people and I knew God set them free, but they didn't change. I discovered they got to walk out of the fire that they've been loosed from. It's time to get out of it. But you can't get out of it until you get loosed. How do you get loose? You got to understand that fire is trying to burn up something that's binding you. Let's look at it in Daniel 3:26. Y'all, it's 20 after 10, but I'm not quite done. them chicken eggs away. If you want a coffee, you can go get it. I'm going to keep going if it's all right, preacher. He's going to fire me. I keep going overtime. Verse 26. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. What do you think? You know, the first thing that jumped out at me, he didn't call on the Son of God. He left him in there. He didn't want to mess with him. The first thing that jumped out at me, he called them three. I thought, well, there's just four in there. No, he's just, y'all three. And I think the reason he distinguished their names so well is so the fourth one didn't mistake and that he might want him to come too. So what happened to them? They come out. Look at it. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth in the midst of the fire, and the princes, governors, captains, kings, counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon those bodies. The fire had no power, nor was their hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor did the smell of fire have passed on them. Here they come out. Nebuchadnezzar said, oh my goodness, there's four in there. One of them looks like the Son of God. I'm going to get them out of there. He was so astonished. He called the three out. He left the Son of God in there. What does that tell you about the Son of God? He's always waiting on you in the fire. Everybody's looking for Jesus, except for where He is. He's in the fire. Why is He in the fire? Because it's a part of you He's got to burn up before you can really authentically see Him. You're the one that said, God, I want more. Don't get mad at God. You said, I want more, God. I want to be just like you. He said, okay. But we got to go through the fire. If someone thing happens, I put this one up here, does your testimony smell like smoke? You know, it says it didn't even smell like smoke. What that means is when they came out, they didn't smell like smoke. They didn't. But what happens to us? We'll say, well, God set me free, but, you know, so-and-so, I don't think he prayed just right. And you know, we'll glorify our smoke. We'll glorify what we've been set free. We know I was a drug addict, alcoholic, and I praise. And I understand, I like a good testimony. But when you go to glorifying that thing, you're smelling like smoke. Right? It was burnt off of them. Paul said, I knew a man. Talking about his past life. We're to have a good testimony, but we don't glory. We don't let you smell my smoke. Okay, Lord, that's enough of that. Notice, he did not ask for the fourth one to come forth. Let's look at it in Daniel 3:29. I'm just about done. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, language will speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut into pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver us out of this sword. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, language will speak anything amiss against the God. Shadrach, I mean, he was a believer again. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they shall be cut into pieces. Nebuchadnezzar's wanting to cut people into pieces all the time. Biggest thing I ever seen. You think he's got an attitude. But all of a sudden, he wants to cut everybody in pieces if they just don't do what he says. But something happened here. This is the last mention. Karen, I'm going to ask you to come on up and start something, and then people can get coffee or whatever you want to in a minute. This is the last mention of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He mentions Nebuchadnezzar said, praise and glory be unto the God, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He was worshiping God. This is the last, they're never mentioned in the Bible anymore. The last mention of their names was in the context of God's fame. Isn't that wonderful? The last mention of their name was in the context of God's fame. What? How will be the last mention of your name? Will it be said that it's in the context God's faithful? Is it in the context? Now listen, this is the life of Daniel. lot of you said you want to be able to interpret dreams and visions. Well, here you go. I can't give you a formula to interpret dreams and visions, but I can give you a life that'll interpret dreams and visions. Will it be said of you, of me, when we're delivered out of this fiery trial that's on this earth, can it be said in the context that I'm bringing honor and glory to God? Because I would not bow down to the image of man nor the image of myself that I've built. I will not. I will not have unbelief that God's not going to show up on my behalf in this fiery trial. I will not believe it. It's the spirit of Babylon. It is not true. God's either going to take me out, take me through, or take me up. Either way, I'm delivered because God's faithful. Can we stand? Can we worship God? If you want a cup of coffee and egg, feel free to go. For those that don't, how is your name going to be associated when you meet God? Y'all need to understand something. I delivered to you in an hour what beat me up for 2 weeks. And I've now delivered it. It's up to you to test it and to try it. It's now in your hands. Do you still want revival here? Do you still want revival here? I can't help the fire got 7 times hotter. You still want revival here? The fire's hot, the fire's real. But it'll deliver you into His presence. Now, I've told you the truth. It'll deliver you into His presence. Let's worship Him. See if we can find the presence of our God.